Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Over 29,500 Alaska voters have signed an application for a recall petition to remove Governor Mike Dunleavy from office. That's more than the number of voter signatures required to advance the recall process, but organizers say they will continue to collect names through September 2nd in case any are disqualified and as a means to show how much support there is for the recall effort. Signature gathering has been happening for 2 weeks, and recall organizers point to an especially strong week two response in Fairbanks. After signatures are submitted to the Division of Elections next month, the next steps are for the division director to approve or deny the application and for the Superior Court to rule on it. If both those hurdles are cleared, recall organizers will have to gather over 71,000 voter signatures to get the recall question on a special election ballot. The Moose Creek Dam is poised to operate as more rain falls in the Fairbanks area. Built by the Army Corps of Engineers following the devastating 1967 flood, the dam can divert high water on the Chena River around the urbanized areas of Fairbanks and North Pole, channeling it to a massive impoundment area that extends all the way to the Tanana River. Flood Control Project Manager Julie Anderson says they've geared up in case dam gates need to be lowered.
We're monitoring and preparing. We're making sure we have the staff and equipment, and we're ready to go if we need to, especially this weekend.
Anderson says operation of the dam hinges on river flow volumes.
We regulate to 12,000 cubic feet per second in downtown Fairbanks, and so usually that means flows around the Moose Creek Dam reach 8,000 cubic feet per second. And right now, the modeling information indicate we're going to be right around those levels.
Anderson emphasizes that there is a lag factor between when heavy rain falls across the Chena River Basin and the water arrives at the dam.
The basin's about 600 square miles, and up on some of the key ridges, it can take a couple days to accumulate there and then come down into the Chena project and into town.
Anderson says readings from remotely monitored rain gauges on key ridge lines are fed into models to predict flow rates at the dam and in downtown Fairbanks. Fort Wainwright officials are taking public feedback on plans to replace the post's aging heat and power plant. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, they're looking at four options for the 65-year-old coal-fired facility.
Post officials for the past few years have increasingly worried about the reliability of the old power plant and the worst-case scenario that could unfold if it broke down in the middle of winter, leaving most of the installation without heat.
The Army mission here is at some risk with a single source of heat that is that old and a distribution system that much of it's that old as well.
Stephen Stringham is chief of the Post's Utilities Privatization and Maintenance Division, and he says those concerns became all too real late last year after a couple of fires broke out in the plant in October, followed by an uncomfortably long power outage in December.
We had a complete power failure, and the installation was without power for several hours.
And because it's a central or combined heat and power plant, most of the post also was without heat during that time. Luckily, power was restored before anything froze up, but Stringham says the problems served as a sort of wake-up call for post officials.
With older equipment, if it's going to break down, it's going to break down when you least want it to break down, when you most need it.
That sort of catastrophic failure is the main reason post officials have begun the process of compiling a draft environmental impact statement on their proposal to build a new power plant. Stringham says post officials also are concerned about the facility's inefficiency, both because it's aging and because it's being run at less than full capacity to keep its emissions from exceeding federal air quality regulations.
So as this degradation goes on due to age, then we have this looming specter of, you know, being able to produce even less heat, and that's our main heat source for the installation.
Stringham says post officials can't say whether the power plant will have problems meeting the more stringent air quality standards that the state is likely to impose at the end of this year in an attempt to reduce the area's excessive air polluting particles known as PM2.5. Those measures are expected to be included in a federally mandated state implementation plan, or SIP.
We really don't know for certain what that SIP will be until it's finalized by the EPA. So it's a bit up in the air.
But Stringham says once the SIP is imposed, Fort Wainwright's 17-megawatt power plant, along with all other sources of PM2.5 in the so-called non-attainment area around Fairbanks, must abide by it. He says the post is getting work done now on all three of the 25-megawatt power plant's turbines to boost efficiency.
Two that are being overhauled, one that's being also repaired somewhat, and that's going to go on until October.
Because of that work, he says the post is buying more electricity from Golden Valley Electric Association, up from 5 megawatts to 7, and sometimes as high as 10. Stringham says the situation is not yet an emergency, but he says it would be best if the power plant were replaced sooner rather than later with either a new coal-fired facility or one of two differently fueled and configured power-generating systems, as outlined in the draft EIS that Fort Wainwright officials are now working on. He says post officials urge all Fairbanks area residents to take a look at the document on the installation's website and to submit their comments no later than Wednesday. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
An internationally renowned University of Alaska Fairbanks linguist has died. According to a UAF post, Dr. Michael Kraus helped found the Alaska Native Language Center and worked closely with Alaska Native people to preserve indigenous languages. Kraus worked at UAF for over 40 years and was awarded emeritus status in 2000. Warm temperatures, pollen, and drought have forced a sled dog tour operation off a glacier near Skagway. Icefield Expeditions operates a sled dog tour business on Denver Glacier above the city, but as KHNS's Claire Stremple reports, conditions have forced relocation of the operation to a higher elevation site outside Juneau.
About 6,000 feet above Skagway, hundreds of sled dogs spend the summer taking tourists for rides. The camp looks improbable, perched on a high glacier, nestled between jagged peaks. Yeah. Rows of doghouses and tents form a tiny spot on the blank landscape. Icefield Expeditions has been running tours since 1999.
Even though these are all ultramarathon racing dogs, some of the muscle building that the dogs get through our tours, it helps benefit them and prevents injury later on.
Musher Matt Hayashida is the general manager for Icefield Expeditions. Hayashida's been with the company since the beginning. He spent his summers on the glacier to fund his race kennel.
What better way to promote the sport, still have the dogs get exercise, and for us to make some money to help feed the dogs.
But even though summer tourism in Skagway is still in full swing, the camp on the Denver Glacier is gone. The season closed early because there wasn't enough snow to run the tours safely.
Over the last couple of years, precipitation and snowpack conditions across southeast Alaska has been below normal.
Aaron Jacobs is a hydrologist for the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says regionally, the snowpack is less than half of normal.
But the bigger thing, I think, is the temperatures. Temperatures have definitely warmed. The trend over the last 10 to 20 years, that temperature has been rising.
Another piece of the puzzle locally is the pollen that swept through the Upper Lynn Canal this year. A lot of it blew up onto the glacier, and it accelerated snowmelt. Much of southeast Alaska is experiencing drought conditions this summer. That means businesses that depend on snow have to adapt to survive.
We just move way further up elevation.
The company also runs tours on the Mendenhall Glacier, above Juneau.
We had an option.
They moved 240 dogs and 60,000 pounds of equipment from the Denver Glacier above Skagway to camp on the Mendenhall Glacier, and they're happy to be running at all. So, to ride with the dogs, you have to get way up above Juneau on the Mendenhall Glacier. Luckily, it's been good weather for flying. In Skagway, I'm Claire Stremple.
And I'm Dan Bross.